Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. My name is Josh, or excuse me, we are your local churchmen. Oh, it's been a minute. My name is Josh, and I am here as always with Captain Jack Barry. Look at me, man. I'm not even 10 seconds in. I'm screwing the intro up.
I thought you were gonna say I'm Josh and I'm an alcoholic or something.
Yeah. My name is Josh. Hi, Josh. Yeah, no, thankfully not. Oh, thankfully not. Jack, yeah. My friend, how are you?
I'm jubilant. I was rubbing it in Josh's face before we started recording that my Cleveland Guardians just whipped up on the Mariners for a couple games here in Seattle. So
yeah, not
8-0 today. 8-0 today, Josh.
Okay, we don't have to keep repeating it like that. I don't know why you got to say it like that. I mean, you can just say it. I don't know why it's got to be, you know.
I mean, it was 5-2 the other day too. So yeah, I mean, okay. You know.
All right. Well, I mean,
pick your poisons.
How does it feel to have a Cleveland team that actually wins something? How about that? Right back at you.
Yeah. Valid.
Yeah,
valid.
Yeah. Enjoy it while you can, because you're not getting it anywhere else. So
that's true. That's true.
You guys whooped up on us pretty good. But hey, dude, it's only April. It's only April. We'll see you guys again, and then we'll see what happens. We're, you know, it takes the Mariners. They're like a big boat. Takes a little while to get the engines warmed up, right? But once we get going, who knows where we're going to sail to.
Gosh, there's so many boat jokes that I can make right now.
That's fair. That's fair. Let's just move on. Let's maybe not, and we'll just move on from that, right? But Jack, my friend, we've got cool stuff to talk about today. Yeah. Amidst computer issues. That is something that I have, you know, like the myriad of technical issues that we have had over the last probably 6 months, right?
Yep.
I'm fine. I'm narrowing them down. And I think it's the computer. I think I'm just working off of an old computer and with the software that we're using. So it's just not up to snuff. So I think I need to get – I think I need to upgrade a little bit, my friend. I haven't upgraded this tech in quite some time. So I'm hoping, Lord willing, DV, as they say, that takes care of all the tech issues. But we're going to limp along today. We're going to get through this as best as we can. But Jack, my friend, why don't you please give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week, new month, new cigar brand. What do you got for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, I peeped this over to our Patreon, our podluckers over there. So they knew what was coming today. So April, it's a new month. April is for Asylum Cigars. Yes, April is for Asylum.
Asylum.
So I'm starting off with what they call the Asylum 13 Ogre. It is a barber pole Lancero, It is also made in a couple other different sizes, like Robusto, and there's like a comically big, like 7x70, as well too. So it just depends on what your fancy is. But usually this is kind of the barber poles that are like kind of candela barber poles are kind of right. brought out during St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, like the Filthy Hooligan.
Yep, Filthy Hooligan. I think is that by Alec Bradley?
Alec Bradley, yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So there's that one. There's a couple others that different companies do. But this one is pretty consistent as well, too, in just the taste and flavors that I've seen it. So it's two wrappers in one. So it's a Maduro and a Candela as a barber pole. And the Lancero actually draws pretty well, because that's the huge thing with Lanceros is that they're notorious for not lighting very well and staying lit. Mm. So, but it has a kind of mint. There's like mint and lemon, and also there's kind of like an earthiness to it, and then it finishes off with kind of like a nice vanilla taste to it. So those are your flavors. It's a pure Nicaraguan. I mean, every filler, binder, wrapper, everything is Nicaraguan. So Puro Nicaraguan, Maduro, and Candela wrappers and fillers and binders. Josh, do you want to take a stab at what the MSRP is on this bad boy?
Candela. I'm going to say $10 to $11.
You're close.
Yeah.
$7.50
to $9. Ooh.
$7.50 to $9.
Even better. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
$7.50 to $9.
I like that.
It has been kind of been in the high 80s, low 90s as far as scoring goes. I really like it, though. I think it's a good starter for this Asylum series to start out with, this one especially. We haven't done a whole lot of Lanceros. Lancero is a very particular kind of cigar to smoke. I always like them.
Yeah, for sure.
That is the Asylum 13 Ogre in the Lancero sizing. And y'all have fun with that one.
Excellent. So. Jack, as always, well done. New month, new cigar brand. Always, always an adventure. So thank you for bringing the good stuff to the podluck, my friend, or the podcast, excuse me. Friends, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you all know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So today we have, I think, a good topic to talk about, and it's actually suggested by one of our patrons. So if you are part of the patron group of the podluck, you have first dibs on topic suggestions. So head on over to Patreon for a $5 holla and get all that exclusive content, and then throw us suggestions, and we will cover them. But today we are attempting to answer the question, is it possible to serve in church too much? Now, this is something that we've talked about before on the podcast, but as all of these local church, I would say, centered topics, they're good to rehash and they're good to bring back, because we're forgetful people, for one, and two, I think people need encouragement in this kind of stuff, right? So it is a very important question, and it's something that I think anybody, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a member, right? If you are serving in the local church, this is a topic that I'm sure everyone thinks about one way or the other. And it's important that I think we traverse it correctly, because the short answer is yes, you can, right? Kind of in the way, you know, I compare it kind of in the way of when someone asks the very cheeky question, can you read your Bible too much, right? On the surface, we'll be like, whoa, no, absolutely not. No, right? But the answer is actually, yeah, you can, right? Because if all you're doing is reading your Bible and you're not going out into the world or going out into your church to live out what the Bible says, then yes. Yeah. If you're reading your Bible 24 hours a day and that's all you're doing, you're kind of missing the point of reading the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And it's very much akin to this question as well as whether or not you can serve in your local church too much.
Yeah, I would akin it to in these situations to where when you eat, when you just like, I don't know if people have seen these YouTube videos where like guys just eat nonstop for like 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And they just like stuff their faces. They're like not really like they can't do anything. Like they can't do anything if they just are eating constantly for 24 hours, like every hour on the hour, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you have to take time to eat and digest and walk around, and that's good for you. Like you don't have to stick your face in your Bible every hour on the hour. Like it's okay to read a chapter a day and let that rest and sure. meditate on that and simmer on that. So you got to pace yourself. You got to pace yourself, people.
So yeah, you know, this is something that I've actually had recent conversations with people in my church about this because, you know, one of the reasons I love my local church so much is that it is full of people that love to serve. It's mm-hmm. full of people that will give you the shirt off their back, that will at a moment's notice drop what they're doing and help somebody and commit themselves to that in some way, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I love it. And I would actually say that if your church, right, your church needs to be like that, right? Our local churches need to be filled with people who are sacrificially giving of themselves and loving one another in those very practical ways, right? That's a good thing. It's something to be celebrated, something to be encouraged. But all that being said, and that being kind of the caveat almost for the rest of the episode, mm-hmm. we do have to be careful with a couple things.
Yeah.
We have to be careful with our motives for mm-hmm. serving, yeah. and we have to be careful with the amount that we're serving, because if either of those are out of balance, it's going to affect our service and it's going to affect those around us, and it's going to affect our ability to be able to serve in the way that we are called to serve in Scripture, right? So, Jack, let's take the first one. I want to throw it over to you first. When we talk about having the correct motive yeah. in service, why do we serve our local church? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the motive part is really good. I have talked about this actually the other day when we talked about ministering in kind of in sight of the cross. So we could go on two trajectories sometimes. As Christians, we could go down the trajectory of seeking out God's holiness, and that can lead us into kind of a gap sometimes mm-hmm. in which we're seeking out God's holiness so much that we start to become moralistic. We start to get really kind of paranoid about things, mm-hmm. whole bunch of stuff, right? Or we could go down another pathway as well, too, is kind of seeking God's like forgiveness, and that forgiveness kind of leads us on a trajectory of I'm in my sin, right? There's a gap sometimes where if you're seeking God out for forgiveness or kind of for restoration, then usually you're on the trajectory of you're in sin, you're in shame, you're kind of looking at yourself. So how can you balance that out? I say that because that's sometimes how people serve. They serve because they serve out of they want to see God's holiness and they want to see it manifested in the Lord's Day service, which is not a bad thing. Or they want to serve out of forgiveness as well, too. But how do you balance that out to make it correct where you're operating kind of within the cross? So if I could actually kind of like snap a picture and give this to people on Patreon or something like that. But it's key because if you're operating and serving out of shame and guilt, that's not good. And if you're operating and serving the local church out of moralism or legalism or something like that, that's also not good. You should be serving your local church because you want to serve the people within your local church. And you want to see them grow in Christ as well as you grow in Christ. So there should be this kind of almost like mutual, almost discipleship that's happening while you're serving. Because usually a lot of service that happens sometimes is on the Lord's Day. You're serving the Lord's Supper. You're either doing some ushering. You're serving, if your church has this, you serve in kids, some sort of kids ministry capacity. You serve things in order to serve the bigger body, right? And being in front of people is a big commitment as well, too, because you're shepherding them to a certain degree. Like if you're serving communion, I serve communion in my local church. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I kind of exhort the people and I encourage them in the gospel, right? So serving on that week in, week out, that can take a lot out of you, let me tell you. So that's why we only have a certain amount of times that I do that per month, okay? And there's only a certain amount of times that I do ushering per month. Because if I keep giving of myself constantly, there's going to be some burnout that could happen. And I know that for certain because there have been churches that I was previously involved with that all you did was serve. And the ways that you knew people was that you served. And so you're kind of put on this service pedestal. Okay. And that I don't think is good either, because then you're serving out of, well, if I just serve, I'll know people. Well, that shouldn't be the dynamic in your local church. You should serve people because you love people and you want to see them grow in Christ and you want to see them kind of encouraged by the Lord's Supper or encouraged by other things that bring service. You shouldn't serve because you want to be put on this pedestal of being like exalted over people, or my service is kind of my little demerits towards my works in heaven and stuff like that. We're not Catholics. Okay. This is not happening. So there are things like that, that really hinder, I think, the idea of why serving too much can get to you, or you overcompensate or undercompensate, for your own, because of your own sin or because of your own struggles, and you serve that way. I don't think those are ways in which we should operate and then go towards serving the local church that way. So those are just initial salvos there. So
yeah, no, dude, I think I'm 100% on board with those for sure. You have those two ways I think people can kind of get, I would say, skewed in their motives, right? You have those that are serving in the local church because they want to look a certain way, and that's an obviously bad one. But then you have those that are doing so because they are trying to find their identity or their worth in the things that they do versus versus the thing that has been done for them in Christ, right? So that's really, really important to, I think, look into our own motives when we want to serve, because serving is good. The act of service is good and it's right. It's something we're supposed to be doing. But even good things, like inherently good things, can be tainted when our own motives start to get in there and start to mess things up, right? So we have to be really, really careful of that and understand your worth is found in Christ. It's not found in what you do. Right? Your identity is found in Christ. It's not found in what you do. So you have to be very, very careful when serving to make sure that those motives are pure, that you're serving your brothers and sisters because Christ has served you. And it is the natural outflow of thankfulness, gratitude, and love that we have for the gospel that we would love our brothers and sisters, the other individuals in our lives that Christ has died for, right? So let's make sure that our motives are good and true when we're serving. So that leads into, I think the second thing is making sure that when you are serving, you are not putting yourself or your family in jeopardy because of the amount, right? Because here's the thing. If you start to burn yourself out because of the amount that you are serving the church, again, a good and wonderful thing to do, but if you are causing yourself burnout, that is going to massively inhibit your ability to serve your church. right? If you aren't doing well, you're not going to be able to serve well. If your family is not doing well, you are not going to be able to serve well. So we have to be really clear and careful with our motives and with the amount that we are serving to make sure that we're not overburdening ourselves or our families, because both of those things, Jack, as much as we talk about the centrality of the local church and the importance of the local church, all those things are true. Your service, no matter what position you are in the church, it is dependent on your health and the health of your family. We should not be putting our families or our, or I would say our healths on the sacrificial table of ministry. Those are things that are supposed to go hand in hand, right? When you are doing well and when your family is doing well, it enables your service to be good and joyful and wonderful, right? So it's not an either or. It's a yes and it's both. We have to understand that they go in tandem together, that we need to make sure our oxygen mask is on so that we can help other people, right? Because when you're doing well and when your family's doing well, it increases the, I would say, the ability and the bandwidth that you have to be able to serve your local church well. But if you are depleted or your family is being sacrificed because of the amount that you are serving, for one reason or another, again, sometimes we just get blindsided. We just kind of forget. We get these blinders on and we go. We get into kind of this routine, and 9 months, a year, a couple years go by and we realize, wow, I haven't had a break in years. And you start to look around and start to assess the damage, and you start to see pretty quickly the results of that, right? And I can attest to it. Like I can attest to being someone that has sacrificed both their own health and the health of their family and put that on the altar of ministry. And it affected my ministry. It made me not a good and effective minister when I did that. And I realized quickly, like, wow, this isn't an either or. Like, one affects the other very deeply. And I have to be very careful with my time, and I have to be jealous with my time. And make sure that I'm not sacrificing things that, if left unattended, are actually going to make my service pretty much, I'm not going to say impossible, but definitely without joy.
Right? Yeah, it's just, I would just guard your heart against just over-serving, and it's okay to say no. Like, believe me, it is okay to say no in your local church.
It is.
Like,
it is okay.
I have actually been very gracious to have my pastors, like, when I've had to say no, for the sake of just health and for the sake of my family, they've been very gracious to say, that's fine. Like, we'll find somebody else. This is not the end of the world. And I think that's what we have to understand too, is sometimes we can take it upon ourselves that if I'm not serving in this role on the Lord's Day in this way, everything's going to fall apart. Like, it all rests on me, kind of thing. Like, no, that's a lie. Like, there are other people that are qualified that can step in and help out. Like, you're not the end all be all, that one Lego piece that if you take it away, it's all going to fall apart. It's just not, just don't believe that either. So yeah, I would just say, you know, just to follow up, just guard your time. I would say be wise as well too. Like, if you can serve a couple times a month, that's great. But don't overburden yourself so much that you start to overcompensate for things that you're just not taking care of because you want to serve, right? You don't want to deal with sin, or you don't want to deal with certain shortcomings, so I serve. And that's what some people do sometimes, is they don't want to deal with hard stuff in a corporate discipleship way, so they'll serve, so I don't have to deal with that. So I would just guard your heart against that as well too. And if your heart inclines to serving before dealing with certain sin or dealing with certain things that I need wisdom on and discipleship and mentorship on, you should probably not serve. You know, so Yeah, I would say those two things, you know, as just a follow up. But yeah, it's not bad to say no. And it's wise of you to say no, because you need to know your limits in how you serve your local church. And they need you to be healthy as well, too. And if your pastors and your deacons know you, like, they'll know how to schedule you out, how to make sure that you're on a good timetable for a schedule and everything like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, I think there's plenty more that could be said, as always.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good place to call it. So why don't you, my friend, get us out of here?
As Big Eva has sung, Josh.
Yes.
We, as she has sung, we do this tradition in which we talk to you all about if you would, you would support us on different endeavors. If you would support us on different platforms, the sociables, if you will.
That's right.
You can support us on the Facebook, on the, it's the Metaverse. Remember that? The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, and the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X. You can find us all at those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can do like one of our podlookers did. They asked us a question. Became an episode.
Boom.
Pretty easy here, guys.
Just like that.
That's, I don't think any other podcast really has that going for it.
We really are the best.
You can just ask, hey, can you make this an episode? You're dang right. We can make that an episode.
Oh, yeah, we can.
So you can, if you send us episode ideas, questions, anything like that, honestly, they're probably going to become episodes, because
that's right.
This podcast is kind of geared towards those of you who are in the local church and love your local church. So,
that's right.
Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in other endeavors.
Absolutely. Well, my friends, there are many ways that you can support the Reformatory. One of them is we have a YouTube. You can head on over to YouTube and see the video versions of these episodes. We are having some technical issues these days with the computer. As I mentioned before the ep, I do have to get a new computer. Which is kind of resulting in sometimes the video doesn't record the way it should. But as soon as I upgrade, I think we're going to be okay. But just wanted to let you guys know that we do have a YouTube. You can subscribe there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. You can rate this podcast on Spotify and Apple. Write us a little review. We would really appreciate that. Helps the pod get out to more people. Last but not least, you could become a Patreon supporter. And you can join the legions of individuals that have hopped on the all access, the podluck, as we call it, that have joined over there and are receiving all of the amazing benefits that come with it. We would really appreciate that. And our pledge to you, as always, is that if you choose to do so, your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.